episode 19 of the Nothing But Respect podcast. Been a few weeks since we've been on air, and in that time we've announced our new manager. On the last podcast we discussed potential candidates, but the man who's got the job is Brendan Rodgers. On today's show I've got Bruce Hillboy and Hunter. I'll start with Hunter. What have you made of the appointment and what's your general thoughts?
Like most Celtic fans, have been absolutely buzzing with the appointment. Still just doesn't feel real, you know, that Brendan Rodgers is actually our manager. You know, we were up at Celtic Park on Monday and the atmosphere and all that, you know, he's such a big name, you know, managing Liverpool and almost winning the English Premier League title. It's a real statement of intent from the board, and we want to continue our complete domination of Scottish football and make more inroads in Europe, and I'm absolutely delighted with it. I think he's a good manager. The teams he's managed have kind of been known to play an attractive brand of football, which hopefully we'll see at Celtic Park, and yeah, I'm just absolutely delighted with the appointment.
Chris, what's your opening thoughts?
I just made it same as her. I was just kind of shocked and pleasantly surprised that we managed to get it done out of the line, and to be there on Monday to see him unveiled like with yourselves was just brilliant. It was a really good experience, you know, and I think the best thing about it, quite ironically, was he actually left quite disappointed that we're not going to be playing for 6 or 7 weeks.
I still think Ronnie Dyle should be manager. No, I'm joking. It's a fantastic appointment, and it's a real statement of intent from Celtic, and I think as much as they've been maligned and criticised in the past, you've got to give credit to Dermot Desmond and that, and I don't know if it's a result of what they've seen in the semi-final or what they've seen in the last 2 years under Dyla, but I think now's the time that they've realised that it's time we press on, and we've always said, aye, we should speculate to accumulate, and I think this is a good example of us actually saying, aye, let's go out and spend that bit more to try and get back in the Champions League, because I think, who knows what the competition's going to be like next year in the league, but I think it's going to be pretty similar to the last 3 or 4 years where we are fully expected to win this league and win it at a canter, almost. Probably, I don't think it should be expected to go in the second last game this season, but I think Brendan Rodgers has been brought in to really make a mark in Europe, whether that be Champions League group stage, whether it be an extended Europa run, it remains to be seen. But I'm delighted with it, so it'll happen pretty quick, as we were aware. There was quite a number of people getting interviewed last week for the job. Thursday into Friday, there was a lot of talk that Rodgers was almost certain. And when we announced it just after 5 on the Friday, us three have a wee group chat for the podcast, and I've never seen that and Twitter just exploded. I think, as you're saying, Hunter, it still doesn't feel real, even after Monday. It's just been outstanding. There's been such a buzz about Celtic.
Well, I know that I often find myself kind of going over Celtic's, the official Twitter, you know, and just, you know, thinking, am I really seeing this, you know, have we really appointed Brendan Rodgers? Because it is up there with the appointment of Martin O'Neill, you know, it's huge, you know. I mean, I thought at the time, obviously I was still quite young, but I thought at the time Gordon Strachan was a decent appointment, you know. I even thought Tony Mowbray was going to be a decent appointment, same with Lennon, and I was pleased with Dyla, but none of those kind of, you didn't think, you know, this is a huge, you know, kind of coup for us and a huge name that can really take us onto new levels. Well, hopefully, you know, that just feels massive. And I think the point you were kind of talking about, maybe people are being a bit frustrated that the board haven't put out more money in terms of bringing in players. I think one of the problems I was thinking about this afternoon was when you have a manager like Dyla, kind of top players at this level that we could get in the past, do they want to play for someone like Dyla? You know, you wonder, do they? And then you think about Rodgers and you think, well, you can imagine Rodgers having the pull to attract players. You get guys that are playing high end of the Championship or maybe low end of the Premiership, you know, when Celtic were under Dyla, they might have thought, nah, I'll pass. But Brendan Rodgers is a manager, they might look at that and think, you know what, that's a really good opportunity to play for a manager like Rodgers and maybe play in the Champions League.
I think, as you're saying there, like, you just have to look as far as guys like Suarez and Gerrard who have come out in the past and praised Brendan Rodgers, and I think that will bring us a pool, like an attraction for players to come to Celtic. Bruce, what's your thoughts on the turnout on Monday? Because if you'd have told me that was going to be like that after the day after the semi-final, could you have seen it happening?
No, I think we discussed it. Like, when Dyla left, we did say, like, Moyes, Rodgers, they were, like, the Well, Rodgers was a dream, but we did kind of fully expect a middle-of-the-road appointment, and even if we would have beat Rangers in the semi-final, and I think he was still leaving, but if he, you know, we'd have won the cup on Saturday and then paraded a manager Monday, to be honest, I don't think it would have been Brendan Rodgers. So I think the board, I think it was that level of apathy and kind of about, like, people like myself were on the verge of, no chatting Celtic, but, you know, it was like becoming a chore following Celtic the last kind of 6 months with it. As I was somebody that was a big deal of a supporter, but it just felt a wee bit, like, the way he was handed out, it felt a wee bit poor. So if it wasn't somebody worth my while getting excited about, I wasn't really going to be that bothered. But when it was Rodgers, I mean, Monday night, somebody gets to a lot of games, but some crowd, I just felt good to be back at Celtic Park again for a good reason. And I think there was about 13,000 was the total figure bandied about after it, but, like, just, you know, to get that number on a Monday night, you know, when a lot of people were probably working and just wanted to get home, is impressive. But that speaks volumes of how big an appointment this is, you know, to get somebody like Brendan Rodgers to come to Parkhead. It's exciting for a few.
What I would add to that as well is I think the turnout on Monday night shows that the Celtic support haven't gone away. You know what I mean? I know crowds have been quoted as, they were really, realistically, they were looking at about 25,000-30,000 maybe turning up, and I think Monday night showed the supporters are still there. They want to see something better on the park, and they want to see kind of more from the board. And I think Rodgers, like I said, Rodgers' appointment is a kind of appears to be, you know, a real statement of intent. We talked about how obviously at the moment we're at something like between 40,000 and 42,000 season ticket holders, but you can easily see that going up to 50 because of just the real feel-good factor that's about the club now with this appointment.
I think a lot's been made of the wages that Rodgers burned, some saying in excess of £2 million a year. But if you sell an extra 5,000 season tickets on that, that's it paid. Like, I think that's a great point you make, that the fans have never disappeared. They're still there. Like, we were with a few who don't go to Celtic Park as often as they used to, and I think it was just great to see people buzzing about Celtic. And it carried on the feel-good factor from the last game of the season, when we've seen quite a few young players coming through as well.
I think we've touched, obviously we've got our group chat and stuff, we've touched a lot upon how kind of big that win against Motherwell was, winning 7-0. It really, we knew Dial was going, we didn't know who the manager was going to be, but winning 7-0, the manner of the performance and the win, knowing that there was going to be a fresh start, there was a real kind of optimism then, and there was a real kind of, I'm looking forward to seeing who the new manager is, and I'm really looking forward to kind of, from for so long, we wanted this season to finish, but we were kind of itching to still, you know, we're itching to go again, really, and you were just hoping for a managerial appointment to keep that buzz going, a Rodgers or a Moyes or a, you know, a name like that. And when it happened to be that Rodgers, you know, it kept that kind of momentum going, and it just built on it even more.
Hunter, what's your immediate expectations of Rodgers? What does a successful first season look like for him, for you?
It's maybe not going to be in keeping with a lot of Celtic, the way a lot of Celtic fans think at the moment. But for me, a successful season will still be winning the league and hopefully having a decent showing in at least the Europa League group stages. You know, I think we need to have a bit of patience here. You know, obviously, coming up against some of the teams that we will in the qualifiers, generally, we have bigger wage budgets and better, obviously, we have better coefficients. So we should be making the Champions League group stages. But I think sometimes we get a bit too bogged down in that. And I think, for me, I don't think Rodgers has to go and win a treble and do all this and do all that. I think if we can just, even for just this season, put in a good showing in Europa League, maybe get to the last 16, the last 8. I mean, that's obviously getting to the quarterfinals. The Europa League would be, you know, pretty massive. But if we could do something like that, and, you know, win the league again and maybe add a cup to that, you know, as long as we win the league, you know, I think for me that would be the main thing. I mean, I'd obviously want us to have some kind of run in Europe. I would like to get to at least Christmas time in Europe and beyond Christmas time. But, I mean, I think there has to be a wee bit of an element of patience and wait and see who he brings in. And, you know, I just want to keep my feet on the ground. I don't want to get carried away with ideas of, you know, getting to the last 16 of the Champions League and you know, winning a treble at the same time. I think there's still a lot of work to be done in the squad. You know, there's a lot of players who will need to go in the summer. he'll want to bring new players in. It'll all be a process, but I'm really looking forward to it.
And Bruce, what's your thoughts on the same question?
I agree with Hunter a lot. I think this is not my expectation, this is my thoughts. My thoughts are we're going to win a treble next season and we're going to have a good run in Europe. My expectations would be winning the league and showing a bit of progress, but I would be more happy just to get a good feeling about the club again, which I think, you know, if we hit the ground running and, you know, make it like more week to week, just like enjoying watching Celtic, and I think Rodgers will make that happen. So my expectation would just be win the league, win a cup, if possible. I might have won the treble, there's no denying it, but if I was to say, like, alright, it was a good season, we'd be the league and a good show in Europe. I do think we need to be a wee bit patient.
See, to cut in on your point there, I would almost kind of liken it to Lennon's first season. You know, he came in on the back of Tony Mowbray and it was a shambles, and what he did was kind of unify the club. You know, crowds were good. There was a really good atmosphere about the club, you know, with the huddle was just kind of starting in his first season throughout the stadium, and yeah, just can't get enough was a big thing for us. And all we won that year was the Scottish Cup. But what Lennon had done, which was quite vital, was really kind of galvanise the support, and without, you know, being cliched or whatever, he did bring the thunder back, and I think that's kind of what we need again this season. And so long as we win the league, I think that's the main thing, like you mentioned.
I don't disagree. Obviously, Ronnie Dyla wasn't the only person to leave Celtic. John Collins followed him out, so we were needing an assistant manager as well. That has been breaking news today that it's going to be the first team coach of Reading, Chris Davis. So, Hunter, do you know anything about him? What's your thoughts on that?
Obviously, just that he's been with Brendan Rodgers at Swansea. I think he was there with him at Reading as well. He was obviously at Liverpool with him. And once Rodgers left Liverpool, Davis left Liverpool to go back to Reading, where he's been the first team coach. You know, I think it's good that Brendan Rodgers is able to bring in, you know, somebody he trusts and somebody that's been his kind of right hand man at a couple of clubs. You know, it's vital for him, I think, to have. I think in football it's always important to have somebody that you can trust. I think as well that the Sunday Times reporter journalist Jonathan Northcroft said that he thought that Celtic had made a really great appointment in bringing him in. Said he'd spoken to Davis before and he was a bright young coach, so said he'd spoken to him and that he was a bright young coach, and he was maybe not a big name now, but if he was to kind of not put money on it, but if he was kind of to be a betting man or whatever, he would imagine that he would go on to be a big name. So I think it should be a good appointment, and I've got to trust Brendan Rodgers' judgment on that.
Bruce, do you know anything about him?
I've just pulled up his Wikipedia page. He was a captain in Brendan Rodgers' Reading youth team. He's only 31, which I was surprised about. But Rodgers obviously trusts him. He's took him near enough. He's took him well for Swansea to Liverpool, so he clearly thinks highly. I mean, I think the big thing about this is it shows that Rodgers is bringing in his own men rather than, you know, Dyla. As much as I didn't really mind the appointment of John Collins, I think John Collins gets a fairly unfair rep for a lot of Celtic fans, but
I agree.
It shows that Rodgers is actually getting to pick his backroom staff, so it shows a wee bit more control over the football side of things.
I think Rodgers mentioned in his press conference as well yesterday, it seems like John Kennedy's going to be some part of his team as well.
I think that was always going to be the case. I think Kennedy's obviously been there for quite a while. He was obviously a player for a long time, and when he gave up playing, I think Gordon Strachan was still the manager at the time, and I'm sure he went on to the coaching from then. So I think he's kind of highly regarded at Celtic Park as a coach, along with Stevie Woods, a goalkeeping coach who's going to stay. And I think, obviously, like, if Brendan Rodgers wanted rid of him, I'd imagine Brendan Rodgers would have enough say that he would be able to get rid of him, but that doesn't seem to be the case. And I don't think it'll harm Brendan Rodgers to have somebody that's been at the club for so long, knows Scottish football inside and out, to be there.
I agree with that as well. Okay, we'll move on to the player side here. On the official podcast Twitter today, that's at RespectThePod, we done a few polls to see in terms of where people thought that Rodgers would have to strengthen, and if there was any players who currently weren't first team picks, as you like, could possibly come through. So overall, I asked what area of the park needs strengthened most under Brendan Rodgers, and overwhelmingly 50% of the people who voted for the defence. Is that something you agree with? Think it's a first priority, Hunter?
That I voted for defence. I was looking at the question, trying to make sense of it at the time, because I was just kind of focusing on it, and I realised that it was what most needs strengthened, because I think goalkeeper wise we're fine. I think midfield we actually have to get players out. Strikers we only really have Griffiths, so definitely a priority area where we need to get players in, but definitely defence, because I think what cost us last year in Europe was poor defending. The goals we gave away against Malmo were an absolute shambles. Some of the goals we gave away in the group stages of the Europa League were absolutely embarrassing for a team at that level. So I think that's the key area for us. I think we did well in January bringing in Spietchenko, but we have to just kind of wait and see what he's going to do there. But that for me is the priority.
But if you agree with that?
Aye, Roger said it himself. I think he said about his defenders, he wants them to be aggressive, and I think that would mean that maybe all the defenders would probably be away. Yeah, apart from maybe Spietchenko, who, you know, I think we all agree he's a class act club at the minute, and I think he's got to come in and bring in defenders. I know a lot of people are talking about too many midfielders and stuff, but you know, remember Rodgers has no to look at the players yet, so you know he'll probably have four or five players in mind, I'd imagine, at the minute, probably changing on time he gets his first look. Because I remember when we signed Stratton got the job, he brought in Jeremy Aliadier straight away, and he hadn't even looked at Maloney or McGeady yet, and he ended up having to send Aliadier back. So I think Rodgers will come in and he'll assess his team and he'll do it quickly. But defence is a must for us, it has been for a while. We do have the basis. I mean, I'd love to see Simeonovic and Svitchenko next to each other. But if Simeonovic isn't going to get himself fit, then I'd imagine we're not going to see much of that. I think a right back, I think Lustig was coming on to a game towards the end of the season. But you know, he's kind of injury record. You know, he's only one bad jump or one bad landing away if he been out for 6 weeks, so I would sign a right back. I don't see Janko really pushing him out of the team.
I can't believe he says we didn't have aggressive defenders and forgot to mention Kieran Tierney. Flies any tackles.
Tierney is due, but I mean, I thought what Brendan Rodgers meant by that was it let defenders that get the ball and just get rid of it, you know, and try and start attacks, whereas we try and build for the back rather than, I think Rodgers wants defence to get the ball in the midfield so they can build. You know, I don't think these teams at Liverpool played much the ball across the back a lot, so that's what I mean. He'd let dafties like Skirtle and Sacco flying into tackles and stuff, and Tierney obviously will bring some of that, but I thought what he meant was players, like, I'm thinking that Ambrose touching the ball four or five times, but yeah, I try to do Cruyff turns and, you know, losing the ball. I think he wants his defenders just to defend and get the ball to a midfielder.
I wonder your point there on Boyata there. I wonder if we'll see maybe a different Boyata, because part of me think the kind of the Cruyff turns and the tippy-tappy at the back pish was more to do with what he was being told by the coaches, how the coaches wanted him to play, rather than that being his actual style of play. And maybe, I mean, I hadn't seen enough of Boyata before we signed him to make a judgment on whether that is his game or not, but I wonder if perhaps we might see a different Boyata.
I think it's possible. I think it is quite, I'm sure Rodgers will watch a fair majority of our games from the last 9 to 12 months. I think it is fair that he gives everybody a fair chance.
I think he has said that he's watched every goal that we've scored and every goal we've conceded, you know, so he'll have an idea of what's been terrible defensively and what's been good attack-wise. So I think there'll still be elements, you know, full games he'll want to watch, stuff like that, but I think he'll have an okay idea of things at the moment. Better for him once he's obviously got them all back for pre-season, and then he can kind of see what they're actually like in person.
Obviously those players going to go. The midfield seems to be the obvious position that's going to lose quite a fair amount of players. So I picked four players that they've been about the first team, but they're probably not like undroppable at this point. And that was our next sport, was which of these midfielders will flourish under Brendan Rodgers. So I put in Tom Rogic, Callum McGregor, Christopher Agier and Liam Henderson. So this was a bit of a tighter one. Agier only get 9%. but the other three was 26% voted for Rogic, 29% for Callum McGregor, and Liam Henderson actually won the poll with 36%. So, any thoughts on any of the players, Bruce?
I think Ajax gets a wee bit unlucky. People just assume that he's Dyer signing, and he'll probably not get a look in, but I'd imagine he's out the four. I'd imagine Ajax the most likely to get a chance first in the team, Mark. But I like Henderson a lot. I like McGregor a lot. I think he's a good season. And Rogic, I think we discussed Rogic last year, didn't we? Saying that we didn't think he was going to come up for us when it mattered. And then he scored two big goals for us towards the end of the season. So I think Rogic is an established first team player. I think his place in that poll, not really. I would have picked somebody else, but maybe like Christie. But I think Agüero come in. I think Rogers might look at him and say, well, I'm you as well. In game a game. Plus, I suppose he's only 17, so he's captain of his team in the world, I'd imagine. I think so. I'm excited for him, but I think he will get the reputation. If he's bad in his first three games, then the fans will jump on him saying that he's a dire signing and blah blah. Midfield bloated, we know that. Rodgers said that he prefers to keep a tight squad with the potential for youth players to break in there. So I think we could see the four you mentioned. I think Rogic, if a good offer, he could be away. McGregor, I'd imagine, maybe hang about, and Agüero hang about, so maybe in the youth team. So I really think you need to give Rodgers time before we start thinking about who is going to come in. Because I think we've been linked with Tom Carroll today, so that's another midfielder. How many? Rodgers is going to have
that's the first three players I've seen as linked to is Tom Carroll, Steven Gerrard, and John Joe Shelby. And then you're just saying
Joe Allen as well.
Joe, wee Joe.
Well, we're odds on in every book east to sign Joe Allen, so I mean, I'd imagine that's just one of the links between cause of Rodgers, but Joe Allen would automatically walk in and be your best midfielder, in my opinion.
Hunter, what's your take on the midfield position?
I'd slightly disagree with Bruce about Ayer, as in that he's 17, and I think perhaps he's maybe not going to be about the first team at the moment. I know Rodgers is giving young guys a chance before at Liverpool, Jordan Ibe and Raheem Sterling and whatnot. But for me, on that list, obviously I agree with Bruce in that he's saying Rogic, you can kind of probably consider a first choice midfielder now. I think hopefully Callum McGregor will build on the season he had last season, because I thought he was really, really good. Really on board with Callum McGregor now, because I really was unsure about him. But I really rate him, and I hope he's a big part of our midfield in the future, obviously starting this summer. But I think I agree with the poll in terms of Henderson, because he's coming back from Hibs. You know, it's a good year of experience he's got under his belt. Played in our first team before as well, and he's another young guy as well. So I think he could be potentially the big one for Rodgers.
On Christopher Ajer, I've got his stats here. Last season he made 34 appearances and scored 12 goals for his club, and so far this season he's made 12 appearances and scored one goal. So further forward, there's a lot of talk, obviously. We seemed heavily reliant on Griffiths last season, so it was just to see if he felt there was anybody who could come out and establish themselves as a strike partner or good link up with Griffiths. So the poll had Anthony Stokes, Nadir Chifche, Stefan Skepovic, who we're not entirely sure if he's still a Celtic player, and Colin Kazim Richards. This was a runaway winner for Anthony Stokes, who got 58% of the votes. So, Hunter, do you agree with that, or do you think there's anybody there who can produce when it matters next season?
Short answer, no. I don't think any of those players have a future at Celtic. I liked Skepovic when he was about. I was a bit disappointed he went out on loan this season, because I did really want him to get his chance, because whenever he played, you know, more times than not, he was scoring. You know, I felt like there was possibly a player in there, but I do have a feeling that some of your in-the-know types on Twitter have said that he's away, which I think is a bit of a shame, because I really don't think he was given enough of a chance. Stokes has had a million chances at Celtic. You know, even played really well in the Scottish Cup final on Saturday, but there were still elements of that game where you saw what, you know, frustrates you about him. He's had his chance at Celtic, and I think he's done. Chifche, was a really poor signing last season. I was not interested in signing Nadir Chifchi. Was willing to give him a chance, but he was absolutely awful, and I don't see any future for him there. Obviously, we spoke off pod on Monday about rumours about Kazim Richards, the way he kind of was bombed out the team after scoring that good goal against Hearts. Really see a future there if the rumours were true. If not, and he's maybe got a chance in the squad, but I don't see him being first team.
Aye, we obviously can't say the rumour on air, but like Hunter's pointing towards, if it is true, then aye, it would explain why he's been out of the team and not injured.
Like you say, we don't know if it's true or not, you know, just what we've heard allegedly, you know. If it was to be true, you can't really see him kind of getting back in the team, you know. You can kind of just see him quietly being let go. I don't know, but we'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Bruce, what's your thoughts on the forward positions?
I think Stokes is still living off Saturday, isn't he, with a lot of Celtic fans. If I just don't think Stokes is good enough. I think he had a great game on Saturday, and he's, I like him in a lot of ways. I think he's had a good Celtic career, but time for him to go. You know, Skepovic, I liked him, but the Hunter, I thought he got a bit of a raw deal with it. He seemed to, every time he started, he seemed to score, and then he'd get dropped for the next 12 games. Chifchi, typical kind of fickle football fan. I talked myself into accepting Chifchi when he signed, just because he was a Celtic player, and never he missed too many gilt-edged chances. If he was ever going to make it as a Celtic player, he would have scored a good few of the chances that he was missing. And the other one, Kazim Rich, I like him. There's something about him. I like how he's just unpredictable, I think it's the word. And I like how quickly he bought into the whole thing about Celtic, whereas when he came up against Pittodrie, we were doing nothing, doing, he came on, and there's no doubt he changed the game in our favour, even though we still get beat. Got a right good shift in. And I don't think he's had many bad game for it. I just think because he's not scoring every week, people seem to kind of, you know, go against him. I thought he was unlucky to be left out of the semi-final. Actually, like him running at Tavernier might have caused them problems, the same problems that Stokes caused him on Saturday. And then he scored a great goal at Tynecastle. We've not seen him since. I'd imagine Rodgers, I don't think Rodgers will fancy him. I think Rodgers will fancy different players playing out wide, but who knows. If I had to pick one of them out the poll, it'd be Kazim Richards. I think that's who I voted for, just because he's the one that's there, don't know. And but to be honest, I don't think any of the four will be part of my plans going forward.
I just want to make a wee kind of caveat, in case anyone is a big Stokes fan is listening to this, in case I sound unnecessarily harsh. I really like Stokes. I thought season 10-11 he linked up really well with Hooper, same again 11-12. I thought they had a really good partnership. I think he served us quite well. He was kind of decent SBL player, SBFL Premiership player, did a decent job for us there. Didn't really get a chance to do it in Europe. When he did, he was never really up to the standard, you know. I think he's a half decent player, and you know, he'll go with kind of my best wishes, but I think he's had his opportunity, and it is probably time for him to go.
Aye. Out of the strikers, I think I'm pretty similar to yous. I like Stokes as well, and don't get me wrong, I cheered when he scored on the weekend. Like, I was happy for him, happy for boys like Henderson and that as well. But I just think he has had too many chances. He's had enough chances. Lennon always felt he couldn't trust him in Europe, in Old Firm games in Europe.
What?
He's played what enough. Sorry, there is no Old Firm. I think he played enough in Europe to be judged, and I don't think he was good enough. I think the stat is that Virgil van Dijk scored more European goals for Celtic than him, so I think that probably tells you all you need to know about him in Europe. And all the best to him. He's been a good, like you say, that partnership he had with Hooper was great for a season, but ever since Hooper left, I don't think he's really been the answer long term. Skepovic, I was a fan, but like you say, he's not had enough chances. Maybe Scottish football isn't for him, but Chifchi, same as Bruce, talked myself into it, wanted it to work, just didn't work. And Kazim Richards, we'll see what happens, but I wouldn't be surprised if he left in the summer as well. So I'm just going to get closing statements from the boys, and we'll leave it. So start with you, Hunter.
Great to be back on the pod for the first time in a wee while. Great to have Brendan Rodgers as our new manager, and I'm absolutely buzzing for next season, and I'm hoping to see a kind of a different Celtic team.
And can anybody find you on Twitter?
Yeah, they can if they look hard enough. I'm at James, not that one.
And Bruce?
Closing thoughts. Hope it's going to be exciting. I've just pulled up Rodgers managerial stats, and his teams are Brendan Rodgers' managerial career. He's seen his goal difference is plus 128, which is that's off Wikipedia, so that should be exciting going forward. And Celtic are 4-1 to go unbeaten in the league next season.
And can people find you on Twitter?
They can, but whether I want them, they know it's a different matter. You can find Bruce Hillboy or Brucey Bonus MUA for any makeup bidding fans out there. Yeah, you can find me there. You can find us at Nothing But Respect.
Respect the pod.
You're too late for the polls, but I'm sure they'll probably be there.
We will be doing future polls, of course. You can find me at Brendan's Boy. You can find me at OC Boy. And I'm looking forward to the Rodgers revolution. We will be back in time for the first Champions League qualifier, and we'll do a wee preview as well, looking at signings that have come in and players that have left. So look out for those in early July, probably. You can always find us at Respect the Pod, and if you've made it this far, we've got nothing but respect for you. Cheers for listening. Hail, hail.